Hello, everybody, my name is Alan, and this is Mom's Gadget Talk for Tuesday, 8th of June, 2021. Well, we kind of have to talk about what's happened yesterday with the Worldwide Developers Conference happening. Obviously, being a virtual event this year, unlike the previous 2 years ago, where it was an in-person event mostly. But aside from all that, we've heard quite a lot of things from the folks in Cupertino. We've got newest versions of iOS, macOS, iPadOS, tvOS, watchOS, and I think I've kind of lost count of OS. We've covered 5 operating systems. Oh well. So we're going to talk about new software updates along with new features that Apple's really rolling out that I think you probably should be excited for, in my own opinion. So let's get poppin'. Let's first talk about iOS 15. So iOS 15 is a significant update in and of itself, obviously for one of the most interesting devices and probably one of the best selling phones of all time, the iPhone. It seems like everyone at this point around the world owns an iPhone. There's probably no place or region where you haven't seen an iPhone. Probably it's some small nation I've never heard of. But there are a lot of new features that have kind of come over to iOS 15. You'll be seeing it hopefully by September. That's when the iOS 15 update kicks in. So the first one we definitely want to talk about is the new and improved FaceTime experience. Now, in the past year, given the coronavirus pandemic, almost all of us basically got stuck in our homes. As quarantines and lockdowns kicked in, so really the only way to talk to friends and family, fellow classmates, student, colleagues, friends, family members, was through video calling and teleconferencing apps like Zoom, WhatsApp, Google Duo. There's a super long list of these applications. Apple's has their own video calling service, obviously called FaceTime. It's been roughly 11 years since FaceTime came out, and it hasn't really seen a significant upgrade other than that it got stronger encryption and obviously better encoding. Now we've got some new features coming to FaceTime in iOS 15. First is spatial audio support. Now, spatial audio has been available in the Apple TV app and recently came to Apple Music to obviously give you a richer listening experience. And now it's coming over to FaceTime to let you easily do group calls and let you sort of take in different voices from across the room. And so, as Apple quotes here, as if they're coming from where the person's positioned on the screen. And new microphone modes separate the user's voice from background noise, so now they're tweaking the background noise, so that feature exists in FaceTime on iOS 15. You also have the ability to switch on portrait mode. This is kind of, I think this has been available on Google Duo, though, before. So, nothing new, but Apple's doing it, so it's great. And now, if you're using group FaceTime, now you don't get a rolling carousel of faces. Now you can have them in a straight grid, a bit like Zoom, so you could see everyone's faces at the same time. And there's no kind of moving around and stuff, so that's kind of interesting. And then on top of that, a new feature has arrived right on FaceTime. And obviously, this has also kind of been related to the pandemic in the sense that we've all been stuck at home and, we can't really go out and hang out with each other and watch the same content. So now, Apple has introduced SharePlay, which lets you and your friends calling on FaceTime be able to listen to music together, watch movies and shows, or consume apps or content together. So you can have a group viewing session without any additional effort or plugins or anything like that. So the idea is that this would work on all your devices where FaceTime would work. It would work on iPhone, iPad, and Mac. Along with you have access to shared playback controls, so you can sort of pause and rewind and fast forward. So it's all integrated, and that's the difference between, let's just say, plugins where you can literally share your Netflix binge watching session with your friends. This one's completely integrated, though weirdly enough Netflix is not mentioned here. But if you have Disney Plus, ESPN Plus, HBO Max, Hulu, the Masterclass app, Paramount Plus, Pluto TV, TikTok, Twitch, and many, many apps that would be integrating this soon, able to take advantage of this functionality, and it's available for Apple's own built-in media apps. And the idea is that sort of you can add it into a group session, you can sort of watch with your friends or listen to stuff with your friends, and there would not be any jumbling or anything like that, or any noise in the background, it would kind of be cut out. So yeah, now you can kind of share content and you can watch stuff together and listen to stuff together as friends. It kind of make FaceTime calls more fun. But more interesting than all that, Apple's now offered an ability for folks who to sort of easily join FaceTime calls. Now, previously, if you ever called someone on FaceTime, they were able to call you if you had their email address or phone number that was linked with the Apple ID, and then it would work. Now, on top of that, you can now create a link on your FaceTime app on your iPhone, iPad, or Mac, and you can share it through other apps, and you can sort of let users on your iDevices from their Apple devices join a FaceTime call. Or, and this is a big deal because we don't have an app for these devices, but you could do this too if you want to. You can join from your Android phone or a Windows computer. Great, Apple. I think that's a good compromise. You know, they can't really bring an app. They might as well offer a web version. The idea is you essentially create a link for a FaceTime call that you're going to do. You send it to your friend, to your buddies on WhatsApp. Your Android buddies, they click, they open it in a web browser, they allow permissions for webcam and microphone potentially, and literally you've joined your friends' call from an iPhone. I can't wait to try this though. I definitely want to try this feature. If it actually works, this would be impressive. Again, they haven't bothered to offer a FaceTime app, but this is better than nothing. I'd be honest with you. That it's better than nothing in that regard. So that was one thing that Apple now offers. And another one is a new feature that they're offering called Live Text, which essentially uses Apple's built-in AI chip, sort of AI processing on the phone, not in the cloud, on the phone, to sort of to do text recognition in real time. So take out text from photos, from pictures, from pictures on web results and all that kind of stuff. So now essentially the idea is if they see text in a coffee shop or something, you open your camera app, you click a little button on sort of the bottom right, the little icon, and you basically copy over text into notes and stuff, and that's wonderful. Again, and that's because of the neural engine in the iPhone that's able to do this. It doesn't go to the cloud, unlike, say, Google Lens, that uses the cloud to process it. It's a very long story. Google, though, uses the cloud to process these functionalities, whereas Apple has its own onboard AI chips to do it. And that's the big, and obviously Apple's argument is that there's privacy. Apple won't really know what you're really searching for, you know. So if you are translating something funny, it's done on the phone, so no one knows. And they've updated Spotlight search, so now you get pretty rich, detailed search results for actors, musicians, shows and movies, and much, much more. And also, if you're searching for contacts, you could see a lot more details about them and stuff that you have with them in shared photos, and that's wonderful. So that's a cool new feature that's come on iOS 15. And then, in the Photos app, there's an updated version of Memories that now offers sort of a better, you can have an automated sort of movie, sort of home movie, sort of that you can, and also it's integrated with music, so as I said, it's all automatically done, so you don't have to do any editing, so that's kind of cool. But this next one is pretty significant, and that is the all new Focus and notifications experience. This is a big, big deal. So in iOS 15, now we have a feature called Focus, which sort of tweaks the UI a bit and your notifications to all your moods and moments of the days, like your work and life and stuff. So you can have your work stuff in one Focus, and then you can have life in another Focus, you could say. So the idea is that you can, it's sort of a filter, so you can cut out certain apps and certain notifications from distracting you always, which is a big, big problem with your phone. You open it up and then suddenly you play Candy Crush, so you get distracted. I don't know who plays Candy Crush these days, but I'm just bringing an example. So that's an issue. Now, interestingly enough, how it would be is that you create a Focus, you set the apps and folks you want to get notifications about, and cut out the rest. And essentially, when you switch that Focus mode, it would go complete. It would do whatever you've sort of set it to. And also, you can have a home screen to that particular Focus. Like for your work, you can have your work apps primarily and widgets. And when you're done for the day, you can switch to life and, you know, So it maintains a work-life balance in the sense digitally. And the best part is because of the Apple ecosystem, once you have a profile for your from your iPhone, you can have it on your Mac and iPad, which is wonderful. So that's that. And on speaking of notifications, we have a newly redefined notification experience in a sense that now the notification bubble is completely different. The app icon, the icons are to your left side, and sort of it's a bit changed now. And now you have the app name or the person's name, and obviously you have the information below it right there. And it's a bit more focused compared to, as I said, compared to previously, where it was all a haphazard mess or a whole mix of notifications. Oh, this person liked it. Oh, that. Okay, whatever. So that's that. Interestingly enough, you get a notification summary now, so you can sort of get, so you can get notifications that are not really at that moment of time right there, so you can see it for later. And obviously, with that onboard AI processing, you're able to get notifications that are very important to you, so they'll come to the top. It's automated a bit, so that's interesting. And if there are any urgent messages, you pretty much get them first thing when you go down the notification area. So that's that, really. So they've kind of tweaked the notification section, though. That's interesting. Nonetheless, and then they updated Safari, which is interesting. Now it's a bit more one-handed, so they've put the address bar on the bottom, and now tabs kind of are sort of you swipe through your thumb, sort of, as keeping it one-handed, and sort of you could swipe up sort of to get to your tab groups. This is coming from Chrome. This is also in Mac and the iPad version of Safari. It's a bit like Chrome, but it's pretty good. And now you can get extensions also on iOS, which is interesting, to say the least. And then we have a newly revamped version of Apple Maps, which has a redesigned interface. So it shows clearly paved out roads, buildings, so you get a 3D view in 2D mode, so you get a 3D view. So you get 3D landmarks, so you have a better idea of the location, so that's kind of interesting. And also you get this while using CarPlay, which is wonderful. And and if you are looking for directions on selected transit routes, like using the subway, and now you want to go to the next station, you don't know where to go to, you can pull your iPhone up and you can literally see, you could follow the directions on the iPhone, pointed on your phone screen to kind of go around, if that's kind of making sense. So that's that, really. So that's interesting nonetheless. And then, interestingly enough, last year, obviously, Apple at WWDC last year offered the ability for car keys to be added to Apple Wallet. This year, though, now you can keep your home keys, NFC enabled ones, hotel room keys, and now if you're in the US, you can even keep your state IDs or driver licenses in the wallet app right there, nice and secure, given that Apple has good encryption and all that kind of stuff. So that's interesting nonetheless. And interestingly enough, in the Notes app, this is also on the other versions, on the other OSs, this is the Notes app. Now you can add in tags, so you can sort of tag people or a specific topic or interest right there, if that makes sense, and sort of this would so you easily get to that note and you won't really forget it. So not a big feature upgrade, but it's there. And then, interestingly, we have a revamped weather app that now gives you full data, weather data, full screen maps. You could see where it might rain or snow a lot. And this kind of defeats the purpose of third-party weather apps these days. And now redesigned animated backgrounds, so you get more accurate. So it's obviously more accurate of, say, the sun's position or precipitation, or obviously notifications highlight when rain or snow starts and stops. So so they've tweaked quite a lot of things, and they've changed a lot of things back and forth, to say the least. And now Apple obviously leads in privacy. They're trying to be good at user privacy and protecting people's data, so much so that now They all Siri requests can now be completely processed on the iPhone by default. There's no need to go to the cloud for it, which I think is a big, big deal. Siri can now be processed in the on the phone itself, so you don't need internet access to get Siri. So you could tell Siri to change, to check the weather, change apps, change settings, and anything that doesn't really need to go to the internet to get data from, it can do it on board, which I think is a good upgrade, given that it's already 10 years since Siri started on the iPhone, kind of, which is interesting. So look how far we've come with technology. I think it's wonderful that now that voice assistants can be processed on board, which I think is a big, big deal. It also is good for privacy because no data leaves your phone and goes to the cloud, which is wonderful. So, and also Apple now bakes in mail privacy protection. So now little thing trackers can be stopped in your email. So, you know, email, I mean, newsletters cannot know where you're from or whether you clicked on the email or you've browsed to it or something. So that kind of sucks for certain newsletter businesses. But the same kind of double whammy effect that certain apps that track data were kind of going to have with the app tracking transparency that came out recently. So that kind of sucks. And now Apple offers a app privacy report that's in the settings, so you can check what apps have used what parts of your data exactly, when, how, and what. So that's kind of nice to have. And again, at least Apple will tell you what's going on with your data. Something that I think that's wonderful nonetheless. So obviously we've got lots of new features in iOS 15. Live text, SharePlay, which is would kind of be a big help in FaceTime calls. Now FaceTime calls will be more exciting. And there are the other features that Apple did kind of talk about and kind of did not mention, so let's just kind of go through that. They have now have a shared for you functionality in messages. If your friends and family obviously send you over iMessage, anything really, like an article in Apple News or a show on Apple TV or maybe a podcast on Apple Podcasts, again, that will be tagged along and be in the app ready for you to use, so you don't have to go back to iMessages and find it. So if they shared it to you, it'll be in the app, in those relevant apps to, you know, sort of to tap into. And obviously again, this applies to photos and things like, and most of Apple's built-in apps. And interestingly enough, now you have the option to turn, if you're in China or India, you have the option to turn notifications on and off for unknown senders, transactions, and promotions to determine what type of messages you want to receive notifications for. Very handy for folks over there who still need to have SMS for things like, you know, oh, your package has arrived, or this. So that's interesting, nonetheless. You now have up to over 40 outfit choices for Memoji, which is wonderful. Up to 3 different colors, which is interesting. And yeah, and you have two different eye colors. You can do that now, which is really, really cool. And you have this new focus feature, which is wonderful. So you can essentially filter your notifications and apps kind of for various situations. Refined notifications, a revamped weathers map app, and notes. Okay, and where is it? And obviously, Safari has gotten a significant upgrade, kind of, which is interesting. Now you can do extensions. You have easier one-handed navigation, and much and a new start page, which I think is really nice to have. It looks wonderful in the preview. What else? What else? I kind of been missing here. This is interesting. There is also a digital legacy program. Essentially, where you can designate people as legacy contacts. So any event, so they can access your account in case you die. So that's interesting in terms of maintaining your data after you pass away. And also in the App Store, there is in-app events, which is interesting. A new payment sheet design and Apple Pay. So so you can enter coupon codes and much, much more easily. Reality Kit 2 API, which is in iOS 15, interestingly. Improved panorama captures in the camera app. Now, if your car keys can do ultra wideband, you can use that to unlock your car from your iPhone. Interestingly enough, what else? What else? Enhanced connectivity on 5G, so they've fixed the 5G on the iPhone 12, interestingly. Yeah, and then for HomeKit, I believe now you can sort of, again, you can use your home key, you can use iPhone as a home key, so that's really, really cool in built in. So that's that. And also, you'll be getting spatial audio with dynamic head tracking for the AirPods Pro and AirPods Max. So if you have those devices, then you can use that primarily. And Notes and the Notes app has tags, which is interesting. There's a very, very long list, primarily, with lots and lots of features. And now you can do drag and drop across apps, which is interesting. Also, yeah, and also you can have tags in reminders, primarily, so that's pretty, pretty cool. Also, now if you're transferring to a new device and you need iCloud storage to move your data from one iPhone to the next, iCloud will give you as much storage as possible, obviously, because iPhones are hundreds of gigabytes possibly, or 50, 60 gigabytes of data, so you can get a temporary backup and you can move it to your iPhone. It's free for up to 3 weeks. This is available in iOS 15, so that's wonderful nonetheless. You get system-wide translation, so now you can translate text on any application or anywhere in the system to using the Translate app in iOS, which is really, really cool. And aside from that, you do get some cool new widgets. iOS 15 is going to be coming this fall. The developer preview is already available. You might have seen videos online of the iOS 15 preview, the developer version. The beta is going to be next month, and it'll be available this fall, probably September or October. If you have an iPhone 6s or an up to the iPhone 12 Pro Max, you'll be able to use iOS 15 right at the gate. So you know what to do. So that's iOS 15. Moving past to iPadOS 15, which is awfully similar to iOS, but for the iPads, all the iPads. So this is not really a big upgrade, more like some tweaks and refinements along the way compared to the previous version of iPadOS. Here you get some cool new bits and bobs. So let's go over the bits and bobs, as I like to call it here. First of all, you get new multitasking functionality. So, and I'll read you to here to what Apple mentions. So now you can access split view or slide over with just a tap. And also, if you have an app already open in split view, you can kind of close one app in the background and you can get to the home screen and it'll sort of, and that app you have would be on the side, so you can get right back to it instantly. And also, you can also obviously also run them with apps that have multiple windows like Safari and Pages, which is pretty cool nonetheless. Also, you get some brand new keyboard shortcuts, and you get a redesigned menu bar, so now you could easily switch between split view or slide over easily, even with a keyboard, so that's that. So they've kind of, again, it's one of those, again, tweaks and refinements to make the whole experience better. Now, there obviously now in iPadOS 15, you're getting some new features that were on the iPhone from last year. You now get full-blown widgets, and you can now place your widgets between apps, just like on iOS on your iPhone from last year. Again, this is a new feature that I think everyone's been looking forward to. Now you can place widgets along with your apps, so you can have a customized home screen that's interesting, and you get more information at a glance, which is kind of nice to have. Also, you now have a little app gallery right on your tray, so when you swipe up. So you can click on it and access all your applications that are categorized by category. This was on the iPhone also, and it's now on iPadOS, interestingly. The Notes app, like on iOS, now offers you tagging, so you can now tag your posts with a specific topic or mention a person, and so you could search it easily, without a problem. And if you have an iPad now you can do a quick note, so you can literally jot down, you could just bring it up and you could sort of take a quick note with the Apple Pencil and easily And you know, you could kind of get back to it when you remember it. So that's interesting nonetheless. And also, iPadOS 15 is getting some similar new features. There's obviously a new refined FaceTime app with new FaceTime features, the Safari app. Interestingly, no calendar app, sorry, no calculator app, weirdly. And there's no calculator app for the iPad. That's annoying. Also, you get focus on your iPad, like on your iPhone, which is interesting. And although you d and you also get live text also. So this is also coming over to the iPad, interestingly. And now you have the Translate app, which again uses the onboard chips on the iPad to do translation in real time. And you can do sort of face-to-face view. So you could sort of so if you talk two different languages, you can translate each other. So that's wonderful. And you get Swift Playgrounds 4, which now gives the ability to build out iPad or iPhone apps right on your iPad in real time because they're running on Swift. And you can directly put them on the App Store, which changes the game completely. And yes, this code that you kind of make will run on Xcode without a problem. So that's interesting. That's game changing a little bit. That'd probably make it a bit easier for some people who just have an iPad kind of and don't want to buy a Mac. Now you get Universal Control, which is this real cool function that's also available for both iPad and Mac. If you have an iPad and you're next to a Mac, now you can sort of now you can use your Mac's mouse and keyboard on the iPad, and also you can also drag and drop files between both devices flawlessly. And I mean, how it worked, it was just so flawless. Like, this is the best example of the Apple ecosystem. It labels those sorts of experiences that you simply can't get over on, say, Windows or Android. And that's the thing. But yeah, you get iCloud Plus on also on the iPhone too. iOS and Mac have iCloud Plus. I'll talk about that later. Onboard Siri is available now, so that's interesting. So again, it's processed on the iPad like the iPhone. So really, it's bringing quite a lot of new features from the iPhone also, so that's pretty cool nonetheless. And you get some really good refinements along the way. So iPadOS 15 is already available as a developer preview, and you can get and it'll be a beta next month, and it'll be out in the fall. And if you have an iPad 5th generation or later, all iPad Pro models, an iPad Air 2 up to the latest iPad Air, and an iPad Mini 4 to the latest one, you're able to download iPadOS 15. So that's that. So that's kind of interesting. So that's iPadOS 15. You know, some interesting new features. And now let's talk about macOS. macOS Monterey. macOS, I think it's 12, right? macOS Monterey. They don't mention numbers anymore, sadly. So now, macOS Monterey, obviously this is also coming to Macs. I have Apple Silicon, so now it's coming with a lot of features that are on iOS and Mac and iPadOS in a way. So now you could do a couple of new features on macOS Monterey. So you have access to SharePlay in FaceTime. You can easily get shared video content that you get in iMessages. So again, like on iOS and iPadOS, and obviously get the iCloud Plus service. And now the Shortcuts app that has been on the iPhone and iPad is coming over to the Mac, which is interesting. So now you can also do some automations right on the Mac. And there is the feature I mentioned before, which is Universal Control, which is for the Mac and the iPad. So now you can sort of drag and drop files between both devices and much, much more. So that's interesting. So Safari has been revamped for the Mac, and so for the for iOS and for iPadOS. And now you have a newly redefined UI where you have a tab design. So essentially, you have a bigger view of the web page. And a new tab partakes on the color of the web page and combines tabs, the toolbar, and the search field into a single compact design. Tab groups offer a new way to easily save and manage tabs, great for planning trips, shopping, or storing the tabs users visit daily. Tab groups also sync across Mac, iPhone, and iPad, so users can continue their project from anywhere and easily share tabs with friends and family. It can keep tabs on things if you want to. This is nothing new. This is already in Chrome also. In fact, I'm kind of using groups, kind of keeps the Chrome tabs of mine organized a bit. Now Mac users can take advantage of it on the built-in Safari browser, which is fun. I think it's nice. I mean, it's cool to see a redefined Safari. Obviously, they've added some bits and bobs from Chrome, but it looks pretty nice, not gonna lie. And a lot of people are gonna use it, so that's, I think that's nice, to say the least. And you have universal control, which again lets you use your Mac's mouse and keypad on both your Mac and your iPad without a problem. Again, that's thanks to continuity and much, much more. And now you can AirPlay content from your from your Apple devices to your Mac. So if you have an iMac or MacBook Air Pro, or the Mac Pro or Mac Mini, really, if you got a nice Mac like an iMac, you can AirPlay your content to it. So this is sort of a new feature in of itself. I don't know if they used to do it before. I'm sure they used to offer it with a specific software. Oh well, it's now available as it is. And obviously now you have access to other features that are coming from iOS. macOS Monterey will be supported on a broad range of devices. All the Apple M1 Macs will support it out of the gate. And some Intel-based Macs, the more recent ones, will support macOS Monterey. And you already have a preview of it today. Developer beta is already out. And you'll get a beta next month, and obviously it'll be available in the fall. Obviously with the usual sorts of, with the usual features that you have here on the usual devices. So that's that. So there goes these new OSs in of itself. I mean, aside from watchOS and tvOS. So in watchOS 8, you have a couple of new features. There's a portrait mode watch face you can get. So now you can have that as a watch face. So that's pretty cool. You have new memories that sort of coming from the Photos app on your iPhone, and you can see it on your Apple Watch, along with a revamped Photos app, which again shows your memories easily, and you could easily share it in a few taps on your watch, so that's pretty cool. You can access the security cameras on your Apple Watch now without a problem. You can even now see your scenes from the Home app on your Apple Watch without a problem. And this is, again, it's all coming on your Apple Watch without a problem. And now, obviously, like on iOS, you can add your car keys, ID keys, and much, much more. And your home keys to your watch, too. And that will work without a problem out of the gate, primarily. I mean, it'll run really, really fast. And now you can use the digital crown to sort of accurately get to the spot in your message and edit it without a problem. And you can put gifts in your messages now without a problem, so that's pretty, pretty cool. And there's also focus on your Apple Watch too, like on your iPhone, which is pretty cool. The popular Breathe app, where you can just play some animation, you sort of breathe and relax. That's now called Mindfulness instead of Breathe, which is pretty, pretty cool. Nice, pretty chill. You have a new plates mode in the workout app, along with a Tai Chi mode, which is interesting. So aside from that, probably a lot of functionality. Always on display, so you can have that on other apps now, including third party apps. What else? So watchOS 8 has quite a lot of features now. It'll be available in the beta is already available. You can also get the public beta next month. It'll be available in the fall, like iOS 15 stuff. To use watchOS 8, you will require an iPhone 6s or later with iOS 14, with one of the many Apple Watch watches from Apple Watch Series 3 onwards. So kind of you're out of luck if you're Apple Watch Series 2 owner. And not all functions will be available as shown here. So that, I think, is interesting, primarily, to say. I mean, it's quite fit. And other new features that are obviously coming to other Apple devices. So if you have an Apple TV, now you can set HomePod Minis, two of them, as your default speaker on your Apple TV, so you don't need to use the TV's built-in audio. And if you have an AirPod Pro or AirPods Max, now you can use spatial audio on your Apple TV without a problem. You also have access to shared with you functionality and SharePlay on your Apple TV also, which are a problem. And now you can ask Siri to play content on your Apple TV without a problem, obviously through your HomePod Mini right away. And now With HomeKit, you can see multiple cameras in real time right there, using, again, this is thanks to HomeKit Secure Video, and you're able to get activity alerts, and also you'll be able to sort of control devices in that area without a problem. And so that's pretty cool. And aside from that, really, now if you have a third-party thermostat or device, Siri can be available on those devices too. Apple's opening up Siri functionality on those devices, which I think would kind of help bring the assistant to more devices, which is pretty interesting, nonetheless. And obviously, thanks to HomeKit, now you can sort of unlock your home keys if you want to. So that's pretty cool, nonetheless. But the other big feature that came out at the Apple event, and I can't believe it, to talk for over a half an hour till we get here, and that was iCloud Plus, which is a pretty interesting feature that Apple is launched that is on all Apple devices. So you have a whole bunch of features. It's really to give you a lot of privacy over the cloud. So one of the interestingly groundbreaking features is this new thing called Private Relay. It sends all your web traffic that you have over to a server that Apple maintains, strips out the IP address, and then takes the traffic itself to another IP address that then gets to that place. And in the whole process, you're literally encrypted, because it takes out any identifying data that really that identifies that you are the main user right over here. And it's quite a powerful function, and apparently this is based over a new technology called Oblivious DNS over HTTPS, which is kind of interesting. So it cuts out tracking over the internet primarily from your ISP and stuff. So that's kind of interesting. It's a really powerful feature you can get, and gives you so much more privacy when browsing online or when browsing on public Wi-Fi. It kind of defeats the purpose of getting a VPN now, because Apple offers this right in iCloud. But hey, it's a nice to have. It's a nice to have function nonetheless. You have also another feature called Hide My Email, which lets you generate a random email address so you could, when you sign up on a specific place, so to stop your actual email address being used to sort of steal data right over here. And also, you now have access to HomeKit Secure Video. Now you can use HomeKit Secure Video with iCloud Plus, so that's interesting. These privacy-focused functions are coming over to regular iCloud plans. So if you already pay for iCloud, you'll get upgraded to iCloud Plus without problem. So that's a really cool function. I mean, previously you paid for iCloud to get more storage over the cloud. Now you get access to these privacy-focused functions. Surprisingly, surprise, surprise, if you live in one of these many countries, you've been able to use Private Relay, which makes tons of sense. So if you're in China, Belarus, Colombia, Egypt, Kazakhstan, Saudi Arabia, South Africa, Turkmenistan, Uganda, and the Philippines, you won't be able to use a Private Relay, which is not surprising, because that kind of would stop you from, you know, that would kind of stop people that stop ISPs in those countries from tracking you, which is kind of crazy, which is interesting to say the least. I don't know how you look at it. But it's surprising nonetheless that there are countries where you cannot use this service. So that's everything announced at WWDC, and we took like 38 minutes to do this. So I actually would appreciate it if you shared the show with everyone, and you know, and you kept listening. If you listened this far, thank you so much. You know, that means a lot. Now we can move past the WWDC news and talk about other gadgets that we have come in. So in Samsung news, apparently, according to Elec, Samsung is going to start producing OLED panels for Google, Vivo, and Xiaomi that are going to be using in their foldable phones. And apparently, according to them, Google will basically have a folding phone coming out that's going to be a 7.6-inch infolding display called the Pixel Fold, whereas the Vivo model will basically be an 8-inch main screen with a 6.5-inch outer screen, a bit similar to the Xiaomi one. And there'll basically be another foldable from Xiaomi called the Mi Max Fold, which is going to be interesting. That is an 8-inch inner screen and then a 6.52-inch outer display. And apparently, when it comes to foldables, they're planning to ship 6 to 7 million of those devices, so that's interesting. While Samsung reportedly is looking to is not claiming, but we're hearing that the Z Flip 3 and Z Fold 3 could be cheaper, could have a cheaper launch price when they launch later in the year. So potentially the Z Flip 3 could cost $1,100, whereas the Z Fold 3 could cost $1,600. So that's kind of interesting, nonetheless. I mean, we've seen a lot about these foldables, so this could be happening nonetheless. And moving on, the Galaxy S21 FE Fan Edition could be cheaper because of increasing competition from other brands, and Samsung needs to really compete with those brands on a really big level. So the phone could be costing about $100 to $200 less than what it actually launched for last year. This model, the S21 FE, could start at around 700,000 to 800,000 Korean won. That'd be about $630 to $720 in the home market, according to the Korea Herald, which is interesting. And that means that it kind of undercut rivaling brands primarily. And that's kind of because Samsung could be saving costs and like things like camera sensors and obviously and not using waterproofing. So that's interesting nonetheless. And then this last one is kind of interesting. I mean, from Sam in terms of Samsung news, there's a prototype that one of Samsung's labs has made. The Samsung Advanced Institute of Technology has kind of created this interesting prototype of a stretchable OLED skin patch that both works, that has an OLED display to display information and also works as a fitness tracker. And apparently, it could be attached to your wrist, so to replace your fitness band, so you could see stuff on it, but also it tracks your health quite long. And apparently, Samsung is the polymer compound with high elasticity and modified elastomer. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce this, so apologies if I butchered it. It can withstand skin elongation of up to 30%, and the prototype remains stable after 1,000 scratches. It's the first in the industry, and even with current tech advances, researchers were able to integrate most of the known sensors using existing semiconductor manufacturing processes. So that's kind of interesting nonetheless, and it's quite fascinating the technology that we're seeing here. This next one is interesting. The Nord N200 from OnePlus has already been revealed, leaked out, kind of. So Pete Lau from OnePlus was talking to PC Magazine and kind of showed off the N200, which is sort of an affordable phone to compete with similar priced phones in the market. The plan is that the phone would launch in the US soon for under $250. It would feature a 90 Hz display, 6.5-inch LCD display, FHD Plus, a Snapdragon 480 chip, 5,000 mAh battery, headphone jack, microSD card, and much more. And apparently, this could be a rehash of the Oppo A93, so that's interesting. And again, they're targeting the US market because OnePlus is seeming to be selling very well, a lot of affordable phones at that price segment. And Nord Seas is working very well in the US primarily, so that's that. And then on top of this, Stadia is now going to be available on Android TV devices very soon. On June 23rd, Google's game streaming service will be coming out on a variety of Android TV streaming boxes and TVs. So if you have a Hisense or Philips Android Smart TV, you'll be able to use Google Stadia right away. The Nvidia Shield, the Chromecast with Google TV will work out of the box. The Mi Box will work also without a problem. You just need to install Stadia off the Play Store, and off it goes without a problem. People have been wait Some people who have a Chromecast have been waiting for the Stadia app to be available. So that's that. So that's interesting. And finally, Realme have announced that their GT phone will be unveiled next week, next Tuesday, on the 15th of June, at 1 p.m. UTC plus one time British time, kind of a 1 p.m. British time. So yeah, so that's kind of exciting. So finally seeing global launch of the Realme GT. We'll finally see how much it actually costs. I've seen somewhere that it's going to be around 500 euros primarily, so that's that. And finally, we kind of round off a very long episode with a new gadget you really should be looking to get if you're in the market for premium wireless earbuds. And this comes from Sony, which is a reputable brand in audio. Walkman, the speakers, the pretty famous WH-1000 X Mark 4s and the Mark 3, really good wireless headphones, and now they have their brand new earbuds, which are pretty high end for what they are. Very advanced. So the WF-1000X Mark IV is Sony's newest wireless earbuds, premium high-end wireless earbud. Features a V1 processor, giving you better noise cancellation than the competition primarily, which we'll kind of have to see, but it would probably be amazing given Sony's earbuds. I've kind of played around with the WH-1000Xs. They're pretty good headphones nonetheless, so I expect the same for the earbuds. It features high-performance dual noise sensor, microphones for excellent noise cancellation, primarily a 6mm driver unit with 20% increase in magnet volume, giving you better noise cancelling functionality. Also, you have noise isolation earbud tips with an improved fit, so also that it gives you natural noise cancellation in and of itself. So you really cut out from the world, from the outside world, easily with these earbuds primarily. And then on top of that, the WF-1000X Mark IVs come with high resolution audio wireless codec, which is Sony's own codec for hi-fi audio, wireless audio, which is pretty cool. And obviously this could work with Google Assistant without a problem in terms of voice pickup. Primarily it has it has precise voice pickup technology with microphones and a bone conduction sensor, which is interesting. So give you crystal clear calling, as your voice will come quite clearly. And you have speak to chat, and now that's on the earbuds primarily, so you can start talking and the music pauses in the back. And also you have adaptive sound control, so when you're kind of traveling or walking around, you can adjust your audio coming, so you're not really that cancelled out from the world. And essentially the earbuds are 10% smaller, charging case is 40% smaller primarily, so it's more compact primarily. So it's quite interesting. And you have a rock solid Bluetooth connection. So in terms of battery life, the WF-1000X Mark IV has 8 full hours of usage, and you get 16 more hours, so that's 2 more charges from the case itself. And 5 minutes charging will give you 1 hour of playtime primarily. So that's that. And you can wirelessly charge it with a Qi charger, which is not that bad. IPX4 water and water resistance primarily. And you can, again, you can tap to have Google Assistant or Alexa on it. It was pretty cool. So this is an interesting wireless earbud. It's quite premium for what it is. This wireless earbud will cost about €280 and will be available this month from nearby stores and stuff. So that's that really. So it's quite a fascinating premium wireless earbuds. This is really a killer. This is competing with the earbuds. Compete with AirBuds Pro. I mean, AirBuds Pro are nothing in front of this. And this is from a company that knows its audio game really, really well. So if you're really interested in this, you definitely want to check this out, though. I'd highly... this is a brand new earbud that's just been released from Sony. So definitely have a look at it if you're really looking to spend around $300 or euros on wireless earbuds. And you don't want Apple's AirPods Pro if you're kind of looking for wireless earbuds, you know, if that's what you're after. So, I mean, definitely have a look at this. It's really good, and the previous models have had raving reviews, so definitely is one to look for, one to consider. What do you think of everything you've heard today? Let me know on Instagram and Twitter. I'm at @Sayed_my199. Follow me there if you can. And don't forget to subscribe to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. Share it to your friends and family. If you share an Apple podcast now with iOS 15, it'll at least come in the app. That's what I've heard. So that's kind of wonderful. It'll come in their app, sort of. So that's interesting. But yeah, aside from that, take care. Stay safe. Thank you for listening. Have a great day. And I'll see you on Thursday with another episode of Mom's Gadget Talk. Till then, take care. Right? Peace. Thanks for listening. Ciao.